7,000 churches have left the United Methodist Church over LGBTQ acceptance. We've been talking about it since early 2022, and it's still ongoing, leaving a trail of carnage for everyone to witness. It didn't have to be this way, and in this video, we'll be giving you 3 steps to keep division in your church from dividing the church. This is Churches Lame. 7,000 churches have left the United Methodist Church. The most commented video in the history of our channel is a 30-second short on the breakup of the United Methodist Church. So this story has presented us with a good opportunity to revisit it. I was literally stunned by the number. Like, how did we already get to 7,000? Never in my wildest dreams did I think we're going to get there.
Yeah, and I looked up, and like the UMC has like 40,000 plus churches, so 7,000 is a really significant number.
Yeah, it's not just a rounding error.
Yeah, and it's like all these folks. It's like, I mean, I don't know what your problem with like just being, you know, nice to LGBT people is, but just it's a hate is really what it is, and like, you know, like they can take the coward's way out if they want to, you know, but it's like, it's sad that they're doing it, but it's like, I don't feel like they're doing it gracefully either. It's like, just write your little letter, you know, maybe spray some perfume on it. You know, put some lipstick kisses on there and then just, and be done with it, you know?
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. This was a painful process they went through, all the debates and the letters authored and the fighting through their, you know, denominational journals and through the Christian Post and ChristianHeadlines.com. It was a really long and awful process that was done before the whole world. And they finally settled it. Like, okay, churches that don't want to be LGBTQ affirming are going to go their own way. So now that the decision's been made, let them. Yeah. You know, don't make them justify it in another paper and then go through another trial to see if disaffiliation is warranted. Yes, it's warranted. You've already made the decision, so just let them go. This has been an awful process, absolutely awful, and it's been public. So what Mark and I want to do this week is give you 3 steps to ensure that any sort of division that happens in your church doesn't lead to division in the church. The first thing I want to talk about is battling the fear of the unknown. Anytime we start talking about church splits, it's a complicated process that has lots of real questions. And those questions aren't just intellectual trivia. It's not just maybe things could happen. Like, there are immediate real-world concerns that come up when churches split or denominations split. Who's going to pay health insurance? What about retirement benefits? What if loss of money from the denomination means that I've got to fire staff? These are real people who've got to keep a roof over their heads, right? So there are real questions that need to be answered in real time. And one of the worst things that you can do in a situation like this is hold your cards close to the vest because you're afraid of the PR blowback from making it known. Like, yeah, you're disaffiliating from the denomination. You are on your own. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. You know, that may be cold-hearted, but at least that answers some questions and people can start to plan.
A lot of denominations, like, they have denomination level things like mission organizations and things like that. And like, so like you're talking about like a very real works of the church that could be threatened by this process.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have missions overseas. You know, you've got staff and you've got real estate and resources. If you're doing things like food banks, when money dries up, food dries up. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, this really affects real missions out in the field in a real way.
You got to really take these issues with the utmost level of seriousness. And I'm not saying that anybody in the UMC did not.
Yeah.
You know, when you're looking at your own church body, it's like, you got to take that, like I said, like a divorce. Like, you know, it's not like you watching mommy and daddy breaking up. You are mommy and daddy.
Exactly. And I agree with you. They definitely lost the forest through the trees. Number 2, anytime you see a church in crisis management mode, which is what this is. This is a denomination in crisis management mode. They seem to lull themselves into this feeling like, oh, this is just happening in-house and the rest of the world doesn't really care and they're not noticing. You could not be more wrong. Step 2, deal with your issues in full view of the public. Because guess what? It is in full view of the public.
Yeah, like this is a far cry from, you know, any like the headlines that we look at where it's just like, you know, youth pastor inappropriately touches goat or something like that. You can't escape it. I mean, in the world of the internet, right? Like you can't do anything privately just about anymore. I mean, especially when it's at the level of a denomination.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like every Christian and non-Christian and Muslim, Buddhist, whatever religion you are, like every news agency can get that information and will it'll be there.
Yeah, and you make a good point that we make all the time. Information travels at the speed of light in our modern world. There's no stopping it. But just to kind of make sure that we understand some of the stakes again, there are other denominations splitting, right? The SBC is splitting. So there are other churches and denominations looking at the UMC saying, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong? How can we learn from this so that we can get the people we hate out of our denomination without losing too much money? You know, and I hate to be that cynical, but so much of this comes down to money. It's so unfortunate. So I don't want to sugarcoat that and pretend that that's not a concern, because it really is at the forefront of many of the concerns. We live in a siloed world now. I have my silo. You have your silo. Mm. And we are always looking for people to confirm our biases, hence the term confirmation bias, right?
Right.
So the UMC, depending on which side you're on, if you are somebody who, like, well, I read the Bible and the Bible says that being gay is wrong and I believe the Bible, regardless if you're on that side or if you're on the side of, like, look, I can't really love you and hate you at the same time, so I choose to love you no matter what your sin is. No matter which side of that you're on, in this situation, you're going to find a UMC church that's going to confirm your belief.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have literally the entire Christian world that you can possibly reinforce or tear down their belief system through how well or how badly you choose to separate from each other.
You have to, you know, above all, you know, you have to do this respectfully. You have to do it, you know, ironically, if you want to use that fancy word. It's just like that simple thing of, you know, like, I'm right and you're not going to convince me otherwise.
Regardless of what the data says.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. We maybe need to be the bigger people, but it's really hard to, because you know, like, when you love your church and you see it being destroyed, like, you want to just kind of lash out, or at least I do. I mean, like, my response is to get angry.
Yeah. And that's a very human thing, right? We shouldn't expect humans not to be human. So it's just a question of having the maturity and the discipline to redirect that, like, after you do feel it. Right. And let me just say this finally on this second point, that there are non-Christians looking at this, right? If you go to any town in America, chances are you're going to find a Catholic church. You're probably going to find a Baptist church. You're probably going to find a Methodist church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go in the next town over, you're going to find a Catholic church and a Baptist church and a Methodist church. And all of a sudden, all you have to do is traverse one town, and one town has an LGBTQ affirming Methodist church, and the other town has a non-affirming church. And all of a sudden, if you're a non-Christian, you're like, do these people even know what they believe? And do I even want to get involved with this if they can't even figure out what's going on in their own house? So it has a real-world impact on the very people that we are trying to shower with the love of Jesus.
Your mission as the church is being affected by this. You know, like, your ability to reach out to, you know, a fallen world, whatever you think that means, you're destroying that, you know, in the process of schisming like this.
Point number three that we wanted to make. You have to be able to rip the Band-Aid at the same time still control the bleeding. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a little word picture for you. You've got the denomination that's splitting. The decision's already made. So think of the churches that are leaving because they do not want to participate in the LGBTQ affirming culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are leaving. So think of them as a bleeding wound. You just got to rip away the Band-Aid and let that blood out, so you can get back to the business of healing, right? But on the other hand, this needs to be done well so that you don't lose so much blood so fast that you die.
Yeah, like I was just watching a YouTube video on how to apply a tourniquet. And so I've got that image going through my brain. These churches, they've only expressed the sentiment that they no longer want to be in the UMC.
Right.
They are still part of the UMC.
Yes.
Because it's not that simple. You don't just state your intention. You need to leave, because there's all these issues of the denomination owns the churches. The denomination, you know, is in charge of what clergy goes to what church and when, because they have itinerancy and their leadership there. Like this one little thing, if it's not handled well, you know, it's like, yeah, you can bleed out. Or as I like to think of it, as you're setting the house on fire while you're still inside of it. You know, it's like, no, you have to set a fire like in the fireplace, and then you have to put up your little, you know, screen guard thing so your embers don't get out, instead of just standing there like a maniac, you know, cackling and, you know, with a bellows and fanning the flames, which that's where this could go if things are handled poorly.
We are human, and we have the whole spectrum of human feelings. That includes love and happiness and forgiveness. But being human also means you are going to feel hate and anger. You're going to feel hurt. You are going to feel betrayal. Those are all feelings, and there's nothing wrong with feeling them. What makes a mature Christian, what makes a disciplined follower of Christ, is making the choice of how to act in spite of those feelings.
Yeah.
Right? Knowing those feelings are just that. They're these internal things, and I don't have to exist in the world purely based on those internal feelings. And so who's ever mad on either side, whether you're mad that your church is changing and you're not changing and you're feeling left behind, or whether you're mad that there's this generation that doesn't seem to be interested in fulfilling the duties of the Bible anymore, whichever side you're on, you can choose to live in shalom with one another, to accept each other and to prefer each other up until that point where you finally do split ties and go your own ways. That's possible. It's not impossible. Yeah. You just have to make that choice. So those are our three tips for making sure that division doesn't destroy your church. Battle the fear of the unknown by answering all the questions as fast as you can. Deal with it in public because it is in public. Get through the problem as fast as you can without hurting anybody in the process. If you can follow those three steps, any kind of big uproar you have in the church, you'll be able to handle well. Let's take a break and we'll wrap this all up. You may have listened to this episode and you may think Mark and Scott really have it out for the church. They have a lot of criticism. And I want to let you know that nothing could be further from the truth. Mark and I, we love the church. We serve in the church. We want to see the church grow. We want to see God be glorified. But we definitely think that things happen in the world, words is hard, that make people go, yeah, if that's what the church is, it's not for me. And so this is where we document those kind of things so that when church leaders ask the question, why is the church becoming less relevant? Here's your answer. You're welcome. If you have anything to say, we'd love to hear from you. By all means, leave us a comment on YouTube or shoot us an email, churcheslanepodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, be angry, but do not sin. And with that, go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.
If you got something out of this episode and you want to see more content just like this, somewhere around me is going to be a card that I think is probably going to be our Leadership Lunacy card. And that's going to lead you to a playlist of content just like this. Thanks a lot.